Okay, so we learned yesterday the Hasra'a story. Now we left off with a question. We said we wanted to look at a Tosfos. There's a small Tosfos, but it's only small in quantity, not in quality. It's a very, very important Tosfos. In order to really appreciate this Tosfos, we have to turn back, if you have your Gemaras in front of you, towards the beginning of the Masechta, have a look at Daf Ches Amud Beis. Ches Amud Beis. If you have a look at the Gemara in Daf Ches Amud Beis towards the bottom, on the fourth, but on the fourth bottom line of the Gemara, there. If you have a look at the fourth bottom line, the Gemara says, "Beplukta, there's a machlokes de Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda v'Rabbono." We have a machlokes between Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbono. The Tanya, Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda oimer chaver ein tzorich. Hasra, remember we mentioned this yesterday. The shita of Rabbi Yosi is that a chover is a Talmud Chacham, he in fact does not need Hasra. Why? So here comes the famous rule. Lefi sheloi nitno Hasra is ever only necessary, elo, lahavchin, in order to be able to discern, bein shoigeg lemezid. So Rabbi Yosi is introducing us to a terrific yesod. If you look at the very last Rashi there on the Omud, Elo lahavchin says Rashi shelo yochol loima, so that he should not be able to say Savor hoyisi shemuta. I thought it was permissible. In other words, whenever Beis Din want to carry out a punishment, whether it's Malkus or Misa, we always have to be able to discern whether this person is a shogeg or a mezid. Otherwise, perhaps he'll turn around and say, "I'm exonerated because I genuinely thought it's muta." So Rabbi Yosi is telling you the hasra is a practical concept. It's a totally practical concept. It's just necessary so that he shouldn't be able to turn around afterwards and say, "Sorry, I didn't know it was asa." Okay, that excuse is not valid because you were clearly warned by Edim that yes, it's absolutely asa and these are the consequences. For that reason, Rabbi Yosi says, if it's purely practical, then it would logic clearly dictates that if we're dealing with somebody who's definitely not a shogeg, why not? Because he's a chover, which means he's a Talmud Chacham, then Hasra is not necessary. So if a chover was Mechalel Shabbos, and he would then turn around and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you're allowed to cook water on Shabbos." That would be unacceptable, even if he didn't have Hasra, because he was a definite mezid. By the way, in brackets, in parenthesis, there is a bit of a discussion, which we'll put on hold for the moment. However big a Talmud Chacham you may be, that only means that you're aware of the halachic ramifications. But imagine somebody will be Mechalel Shabbos. He's brought to Beis Din, he's a big Talmud Chacham, and they say to him, "Why were you Mechalel Shabbos?" And he says, "I'm sorry, I didn't know it was Shabbos. I thought it was Motzah Shabbos already. Or I thought it was still Friday." Now, that's nothing to do with being a Talmud Chacham. That's just to do with the fact that his watch was broken. So why would a chover not need hasra? Not to be taught the halachics, but to be taught the metzias, the facts on the ground. So it's true. Nobody can turn, a chover can never turn around and say, "I thought you're allowed to cook on Shabbos, but I genuinely didn't think this was Shabbos. I looked out the window, I saw three stars. I thought it was Tzeis HaKoychovim. I thought it was Motzei Shabbos, and that's why I put the water on the flame." So why would I not need Edim to say, "No, listen, you need Hasra. You're about to put water on the flame. You should know it's still Shabbos afternoon." That's nothing to do with being a chava. That's just with the ability to do the lights work in your house. Could you see outside? Does your clock work? Has your watch stopped? That's a discussion for Rambam, etc., etc. But either way, let's get back to our discussion. Rabbi Yossi is telling you that a chava does not need hasra because he always knows the halachics. There is no such thing. It's totally unacceptable for a chava to turn around and say, "I'm sorry, I thought it was mutter." Now, the Gemara is telling you there in Daf Ches that in fact is a machloikas between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonim. Rabbi Yossi says that a chava doesn't need hasra. Why? Because hasra is only ever needed to be able to discern between shegeg and mezid, and that difference is not necessary when it comes to a chava. Okay, what about the opinion of the Rabbonim? The Gemara said it's a machoikas. So the Rabbonon clearly maintained that what? That a chava does need hasra. So the question is, it's not altogether clear from the Gemara, what is the point of machlokes? After all, we're all going to agree that a chava knows the halacha. Not very plausible to say that, no, the Rabbonon say he needs hasra because maybe the chava forgot the halacha. It's not very logical. So clearly, everybody agrees to the facts on the ground that a chava is knowledgeable and a chava knows the halacha. So l'chayre, if that's the case, Rabbi Yossi's logic would seem to be very tight, would be very sound. If a chava knows the halacha, can therefore never turn around and say, "I'm sorry, I thought it was muta." So I understand Rabbi Yossi's position very well. That's why a chava does not need hasra. Why do the Rabbonon disagree and they say, no, actually, a chava does need hasra? Why? So it would seem to be that if the Gemara explains the reason why Rabbi Yossi holds that a chava doesn't need a hasra is because the only function of hasra is to be able to discern between shegeg and mezid. So I think, therefore, he's just given the game away. Whenever you present a halacha and you then give an explanation, well, clearly, if somebody disagrees with your halacha, they must disagree with the explanation. Why, according to the Rabbonon, does a person need hasra? We've just learned from a whole bunch of psukim that you need hasra, as we saw yesterday. Why do you need hasra? What's the function of hasra? So according to Rabbi Yossi, as he himself told us, hasra is there in order to be mavchin between shegeg and mezid. What would the Rabbonon hold? The Rabbonon would say, no, it's nothing to do with that. Even if we know he's a mezid because he's a chaver, he nonetheless requires hasra. Why? What's the point? What are you telling him that, you know, you're not allowed to be mechal al Shabbos, and if you do, you get skila? Well, he knows that already. He's a Talmud Chacham. So what could possibly be the function of a hasra, according to the Rabbonon, that would necessitate even a chaver getting a hasra? Anybody has a logic to explain that? Yes, Larry.
Because human beings are human beings. And even if he's a chaver, if there's no hasra for him, he could come and say, "Oh, you know, I wasn't warned. I didn't know it was Shabbos." And what are they going to say to him? "Oh, you're too smart to use that excuse." He says, "No, I'm a human being. I'm a Jew. You're telling me I'm smarter than I am? I had a brain.
So what's the machlokes then?
So the machlokes is in terms of whether it is about mezid or shogeg. It's a machlokes of whether how do you determine if a person should or shouldn't know. It's a very vague definition. Like now all of a sudden, Beis Din is going to say, "What about a rav? What about?" Let me ask you a question. You think most Klai Yisrael, look at Klai Yisrael today, Orthodox Jews.
Again, like I said before, if Rabbi Yossi gives the explanation, Rabbi Yossi says the reason why a chava doesn't need a hasra is because hasra is only there to differentiate between shegeg and mezid. Well, that explanation is irrelevant because according to Rabbi Larry, the Rabbanan also agree to that. The question is just, do we have to be concerned that maybe he still forgot? So why is Rabbi Yossi giving an explanation which the Rabbonon don't disagree with, Bechal? Everybody agrees. Rabbi Yossi should have said, a chava doesn't need a hasra because in most cases he knows the halacha, to which the Rabbonon would turn around and say, it's true, but we have to be concerned that maybe, just maybe, just maybe he forgot. That would be the plausible explanation. So why did Rabbi Yossi turn around and say, the reason why he doesn't need hasra is because Asra is there to the friendship between Shogeg and Mezid. Well, you're not explaining your case. The Rabbanon also agree to that. Like, that's why I gave this Hakdama. Whenever I say a halacha and then I give an explanation, then that explanation must be to explain my position and why I disagree with those who argue with me. Rabbi Yossi's explanation doesn't actually teach us why they're disagreeing with Rabbanon. Rabbi Yossi should have said, listen, we're all on the same page. We all agree that Hasra is there to the friendship between Shogeg and Mezid. I happen to hold that you go in accordance with most people who are a chava know the halacha, and the Rabbanon say, no, we have to be concerned even if there's a miut, there's a minority. So he should have presented that case, but it's a totally missed the boat.
So maybe he's just pushing for leniency.
I don't mind, but then he missed the boat, so he should have said, most people know the halacha. And the Rabbanon would have said, no, but there's a minority who don't know the halacha. Fine, so we can agree to disagree, but then each one's explained their position. But for Rabbi Yossi to say, well, Hasra is to differentiate between Shogeg and Mezid, the Rabbanon will turn around and say, thank you very much. We also agree to that. That's hardly going to convince us to change our minds.
To change our minds to what then? What's the difference?
If I have an argument with you and I want to explain my position, what I, in fact I'm doing is I'm explaining my position and why I think you're wrong.
So the argument is whether a chaver needs hasra or not. Is that the point?
Yossi says that chaver does not need a hasra, and he's now going to explain why. The Rabbanon hold that a chaver does need a hasra. So in order for Yossi now to present his explanation, he's got to explain why the Rabbanon are wrong and why is he right. So what does it help to say? Because hasra is needed to the friendship between Shogeg and Mezid. That's totally irrelevant. Everybody agrees to that. Everybody agrees to that. It's not a discussion. Yes, Nachum, you wanted to say something?
No, I was just going to say, if the Rabbanan don't believe that they need Hasra, then there's what
the
reason
contrary.
Do they have to offer?
To the contrary, Rabbanan say that you do need Hasra, even a Chava needs a Hasra.
Right, I'm saying, so there's no, what opinion are they giving? Rav Yossi is saying they don't need Hasra because X, Y, Z. The Rabbanan are saying, well, they do need Hasra, so I don't even need a, like, why am I even in this argument? I don't agree on the premise, much less give a reason for
again,
a differentiation.
How do Rabbanon understand the principle of Hasra? What is the purpose? What is the function of Hasra according to the Rabbanon? You're right. They didn't offer their explanation. Therefore, that shows me that what?
The Rabbanon say the Chaver needs Hasra?
Correct.
Yes.
Why?
And Rabbi Yossi says the Chaver does not need Hasra?
Correct. So if you ask the Rabbanon...
Because everyone needs Hasra.
Why? Why is Rabbi Yossi wrong? According to the Rabbanon, Rabbi
He doesn't
Yossi,
have... What is it to prove... I don't understand why he has to prove, the Rabbanon have to prove Rav Yossi wrong. There's a principle of Asra. Rav Yossi is coming along to make an explanation, a differentiation for a chaver. But Rabbanon is saying, no, there's a halacha, there's a halacha, there's a halacha.
So you've just explained it. In other words, you've just said, and I think you're right, that the Rabbanon hold that the function of Asra is not to differentiate between Shegeg and Mezid. Why does you need Hasra? Because the Torah says you need Hasra, period. That's the din. If that's the case, then I understand 100% that when Rabbi Yossi explained his position, he's actually explaining his position. I maintain that no, Hasra has a logic behind it. It's to differentiate between Shogeg and Mezid, and therefore the next obvious step is therefore that the Chava does not need a Hasra. The Rabbanon say, you're 100% right. This is not a question of percentages of some people and more people and a miut and a right. No, you're 100% right that were Hasra to be all about a differentiation between Shogeg and Mezid, then you'd write a chover is different. I'm sorry, I disagree with your premise. That's not the purpose of Hasra. The Torah says you've got to give Hasra, period. So we have a machlekes. Now, let's go back a stage. Let's now enter Rabbi Yossi's world for a second. Rabbi Yossi says, why do you need Asra in order to be mavchin between Shogeg and Mezid?
He wouldn't say it's the Oraisa. He wouldn't say the Torah.
Everybody else is the Oraisa. We learn it from Sukkim. Everybody holds the rice. The
So how
question
is the Rabbanan wrong then? Like what Nachum said.
No, the question is, what is the Torah teaching to us? Is the Torah teaching us some halacha which we don't understand? This is what the Torah prescribes. Or is the Torah teaching us something based on logic? You need Hashra for practical reasons. Now, here comes the big question, and now you'll see why we had to see this Gemara as a hakdama to our Tosfos. If you hold, and Larry, you're almost hitting on the point over here. If you hold like Rabbi Yossi, that Hasra is necessary to distinguish between Shoigeg and Mezid, which means that I always have to have a practical concern. Maybe the person didn't know the halacha, so I need to teach it to him. If that's Rabbi Yossi's understanding in Hasra, do I need a posuk to teach that to me? How can you possibly put somebody to death if he might be a shogeg, Rabbeinu Shalom? If we come back now to our sugya, the Gemara says, how do you know Hasra min HaTorah? Wouldn't Rabbi Yossi just turn around and say, what do you mean, how do you know it? It's the most logical thing in the world. Obviously you need Hasra because otherwise maybe it's a shogeg. According to the Rabbanon, Rav Nachum, I do understand, because according to Rabbanon, why do you need Asra? I don't know. It's a din. That's the halacha. That's even a chava needs a hasra. So then I can understand the Gemara's question. Where does that learn from? That don't tell me that's a logic. That's a halacha that the Torah needs to prescribe. So if you look immediately, Rabbi said, come back now to our Tosfos on the mem on the base, the bottom Tosfos. Says Tosfos. Sometimes Tosfos is very, very, very brief. This is a classic case in point, but we need to make that whole hakdama. Look at Tosfos. Minayin lahasra min ha-ta'ira. Says Tosfos, bechaver komiboyale. We're only ever discussing a chaver. Leman de Omar, a chaver tzarich hasra. According to the opinion that a chaver needs a hasra, that's not a logical statement. That's just a halachic statement. There wouldn't seem to be any logic that would explain to us why a chaver would need a hasra. Says Tosfos, according to that man Dama, we understand the Gemara's question very well. Well, where's that learned from? That don't tell me that's a svara. Because were we to be talking about somebody who's not a chaver, surely hasra is always necessary to discern between shogeg and mezid. And everybody has to agree that at least with somebody who's not a chaver, Reb Nachum, this is the additional point that you need to add. According to the Rabbonon, that a chaver needs a hasra. So if you ask the Rabbonon, okay, so what is the logic behind hasra? What will they tell you? I don't know. There's no logic. It's exeris akaso. This is the way it's got to be. Fine, I accept that. But do you agree, Nachum? But even according to the Rabbonon, if you were to ask the Rabbonon, why does somebody who's not a chaver, why does he need a hasra? The Rabbonon will be the first ones to admit, oh, there, obviously it's a logic. Because if the guy is an Amo Oretz and he's an ignorant person, well, of course you need hasra, because otherwise it might be a shogeg. All the Rabbonon added is that in addition to the logic, even in the case of a chover, where there does not really exist a claim that he doesn't know it was a mezid, you nonetheless need a hasra. So everybody agrees, it's a logic which is non-disputable. Everybody agrees that logic dictates that wherever there is a possibility of turning around and saying, I'm sorry, I thought it was a shogeg, obviously you need a hasra. I don't need any pasuk in the Torah to teach me that. What did the Rabbanon add to the story over here? They added that even where there is no logic, where is there no logic? In the case of a chaver, you nonetheless need a hasra. Says Tosfos, that's what the Gemara is asking. A chaver who needs a hasra according to the Rabbonon, that definitely not logic based. That's why the Gemara is asking. So what is the pasuk that teaches me that halacha? But if I would be talking about somebody who's not a chaver, says Tosfos, the Gemara would never ask, where's the source in the Torah? It's logic, it's obvious. Says Tosfos, another answer, inami. Alternatively, do you know why I need a pasuk? I need a pasuk not to teach me the actual principle of Hasra, but mi boy ele, you know what we're asking? Mi no lon de boin on hemes toich kidei debor. Remember we discussed this last time, it's not enough for the Edom to give Hasra, but the Avera has to be then carried out immediately afterwards. Now that's a chiddush. Do we agree? Even Nachum would agree that that's a chiddush. Why? Because if I've told this fellow, you know what, you're not allowed to be mechalal Shabbos, today is Shabbos, and if you put that pot on the flame, you're going to get stoned to death. 10 seconds later, he did it. Would you have said, based on logic, that he's allowed to turn around and say, sorry, I forgot the hasra that you gave me 10 seconds ago? That's not a logic. That's a chiddush. And that I need a pasuk for. So Tosfos says, that's why I need this pasuk to teach me not the principle of Hasra, but rather the application of Hasra, that it needs to be within Toich Kedei Dibur. So it turns out, therefore, that this Tosfos, without so much as even asking the question, really has asked the question. What was Tosfos' question? Why do I need a Pasuk to teach me Hasra? Isn't it logical? If there's no Hasra, he'll turn around and say, I'm a Shegik. Tosfos has given two answers. Answer number one, you're right. We're not talking about a regular person. We're talking about a chava. According to the Rabbonah, that a chava actually needs a hasra. So therefore, he definitely does not have the excuse of, I thought it was okay. Therefore, hasra is not a logic. It needs a pasuk. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two is, no, maybe we're even talking about an ignorant person. We're talking about everybody. What the Gemara means to say, how do I know hasra? Not how do I know that you ever need a hasra? How do I know the Avera needs to be carried out within a very short space of time, which we call Toich Kedei Dibur of the Hasra? So this is a very, very, very important Tosfos, which really opens up our eyes to the whole concept of Hasra. According to Rabbi Yossi, Hasra is purely a logic and you don't even need a pasuk for it. According to the Rabbonon, it's true, logic dictates you need a hasra. But in addition to that, even where logic dictates that you don't need hasra, like in the case of a chava, you nonetheless need it. Why? Because that's what the Torah says. Yes.
Rabbi, just a quick question. We've mentioned once or twice throughout this Gemara that if a basin ever killed anyone within like 70 years, it was considered a bloody based in?
Correct.
So my question is it because no one committed anything, or is it because of all of these restrictions of Asra and Toch de Dibor that there were murderers walking around all the time?
Correct. The Gemara says that the chances of putting somebody to death are so remote, not because Averas didn't happen. Unfortunately, Averas always happened. But because they always grilled the Edim or found a loophole, Ad Kadekach, those who are with us when we learned Makkas, you might remember, that one of the Tanoim, maybe Rabbi Akiva, said that actually I would be able to exempt every single murderer under the sun. How so? Because Rabbi Akiva says, one second, you stab this guy to death. Well, maybe he had a hole in his heart anyway and he was destined to die. Somebody who has a hole in their heart and is considered to be a trefer, which means that in 12 months is going to die. It's true, you're not allowed to kill him. But if you kill him, you're not chayav misa, because he was going to die anyway within a short space of time. Okay, it doesn't even help now to do a post-mortem to check him up. Why? Because I can always claim that in the exact spot that the dagger entered his heart, Maybe there was a hole there anyway, and that's something that can't be disproved. That's what Rabbi Kiva says. The Gemara discussed it, why those who disagree with it, why they argue. But you see to what extent we're going to exempt. And therefore, the chances, just practically, of being able to put somebody to death is not because Averas didn't occur, but because the chances of finding Eidos and Techte Dibo and Asron and Achron and Psak Din and Gemara v'chule are close to zero.
Rabbi, without this Tosfos, aren't we giving Beis Din the right to say you should have known better? Because all of a sudden they can determine who should have known the halacha.
Only in the case of a chava. We have, by the way, halachic definitions of a chava. It's not just I look at somebody's nose and I say, yeah, you look like a Talmud Chacham to me. We have halachic definitions of who is constituted a chava.
How could a not be a chava?
I mean,
The
Gemara raised this explanation of chava in the case of a Nara. And it seems strange that she should be considered to be a Talmud Chacham.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But for example, I'll give you a practical ramification. Imagine you walk into somebody's house and you see food lying around. Now, you have a question. Has trumois umaisres been separated from this food? I have no idea. Maybe they bought it yesterday. Maybe they brought it, took it in from the field, and they were planning on taking trumois umaisres tonight. But at the moment, it's 100% tevel, so I don't know. So obviously, I can't eat it. So the Gemara says that's not the same with a chava. The halacha is that we always assume a chava would immediately tithe. He'd be mafresh trumas or maestros, and therefore, if you see any food lying around that's anything to do with him, it can be consumed. So again, we see that there are halachic ramifications and halachic definitions of who is constituted a chava. It's not just you have a long white beard, so you look like a talmud chacham to me. There's qualifications of what a chava is.
But Rebbe, we're living in a time, if you read this, you read us Hadoros, right? So in the time of the Gemara, they were much more learned than we are. You would have to think that basically most of us know, unless the nitty gritty, the basic halachas of Yechayev Misa. So
imagine,
how can there be a situation? How can there be?
So somebody comes to Beis Din and he was accused of taking a piece of paper and sticking it, gluing it to another piece of paper on Shabbos. Chayav Misa. He says, really? But what do I do? Well, there's a malacha called toifa. Toifa? What toifa means embroidery or sewing. I didn't sew anything. I just stuck two papers. Yeah, but the Rambam says if you stick two pieces of paper together, that is considered a malacha of toifa and Chayav Misa. Now, obviously, a chava would know that halacha. Somebody who's not a chava, yes, he went to cheder and he knows all halachas. You're not allowed to do toifa on Shabbos. But he may not know that sticking two pieces of paper actually constitutes toifa. Whatever, there can be 1,000 examples. Either way, a very, very important tosas because it opens up the whole world to us on what the principle of Hasra is. So let's make a start, and this is what Rabbi Yosef was referring to. The next Gemara also now mentions the concept of Chava. Have a look at the Gemaras in the first white line on the Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Hitir Atzmoy Lemisa. Remember we said that Hitir Atzmoy Lemisa is yet another requirement. That it's not enough for the Edom to have given Hasra. Rather, it needs this particular individual to accept it and say, I couldn't care less. I'm nonetheless prepared to put myself to death. That's what it means, hitir atzmo lemisa, as if it were, he's permitting himself to be killed. So not just he went and then did the Avera, but he actually expressed his total lack of regard. I couldn't care less that if I'm Mechalal Shabbos and Mechayev Misa, I am nonetheless going to do that. So that's another way of getting somebody off the hook, by the way. Because it turns out that it's not sufficient for Edom to say, yes, 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 we absolutely gave him Asra. And yes, he did the Avera Teichdei Dibor. Sorry, it's not enough. Did he say, I couldn't care less, I'm going to do it anyway? If he didn't say that, he's not Chayav Misa. How do I know? Says the Gemara on the first white line, Minolom. Where do you learn this principle from? Where do you learn that not only do you need a Hasra, but he has to now be matir himself to Misa? Omar Rava v'itema Chizkia. So Rava says in the name of Chizkia, we learn it from a pasuk. Omakra. Yumas Hames. A double lashon. Yumas Hames. Literally translated, the dead man will die. Well, dead men don't die. So what does it mean? Yumas Hames. Extra word. Ad sheyatir atzmoi lemisa. Until he, as it were, just abandons his own life and he permits himself to be killed. Rashi explains the drasha. Look at Rashi. Hames, mashma, if you say the dead man will be killed, what does that mean? You can't kill a dead man. Says Rashi, mashma kvar hu kames. It's mashma as if to say that he's as if he's already dead, koidem shebol bezdin, before he came to Bezdin. In other words, there's somebody being brought to Bezdin, accused of being Mechalal Shabbos, so it's true, even though he's alive and well, it's as if he's already dead. Why is it as if he's already dead? Shechiev atzmoi misa bepiv. Because with his own mouth, he already, as it were, incriminated himself. He already said, yes, I'm a dead man. That's what I'm learning from the Pasuk, Yumas Hames. It does not suffice for the Edom to say, if you are Mechalal Shabbos, you will be a dead man. He's then got to respond, yes, I couldn't care less, I'll be a dead man. So when he's now marched into Beis Din, it is, as it were, considered as if he's already a dead man because he already incriminated himself. That's what I learned from the Pasuk, Yumas Hames. The dead man has to be put to death. How is he dead already? By incriminating himself. That's what it means to be matir atzmo lemisa. Not just he did the Aveira despite the Hasra, but rather he actually verbally expressed a total disinterest, not in the slightest bit interest. Yes, I'm happy to die. So when he's walking into Bezin, it basically is if he's walking in as a dead man. That's what we learn. That's what we learn this halacha from. Okay, a beautiful sugya, a beautiful tosis. Mes Hashem, tomorrow we'll carry on. Shall table almost like this.